I invite you to turn with me this morning to 1 Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 30. And we want to read the first 20 verses of 1 Samuel 30. Samuel 30, verse 1, and it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag, and smitten Ziklag, and burned it with fire, and had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away, and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captives, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess and Abigail the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought hither the ephod to David. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, Shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, Pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. So David went, he and the 600 men that were with him, and came to the brook Besor, where there were left behind, where those that were left behind stayed. But David pursued, he and the 400 men, for 200 abode behind, which were so faint that they could not go over the brook Besor. And they found an Egyptian in the field and brought him to David and gave him bread. And he did eat, and they made him drink water. And they gave him a piece of a cake of figs and two clusters of raisins. And when he had eaten, his spirit came again to him. For he had eaten no bread nor drunk any water 3 days and 3 nights. And David said unto him, To whom belongest thou, and whence art thou? And he said, I am a young man of Egypt, servant to an Amalekite, and my master left me because 3 days are gone, I fell sick. We made an invasion upon the south of the Cherethites, and upon the coast which belongeth to Judah, and upon the south of Caleb, and we burned Ziklag with fire. And David said to him, Canst thou bring me down to this company? And he said, Swear unto me by God that thou wilt neither kill me nor deliver me into the hands of my master, and I will bring thee down to this company. And when he had brought him down, behold, they were spread abroad upon all the earth, eating and drinking and dancing, because of all the great spoil they had taken out of the land of the Philistines, and out of the land of Judah. And David smote them from the twilight even unto the evening of the next day. And there escaped not a man of them, save 400 young men, which rode upon camels and fled. And David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away. And David rescued his two wives. And there was nothing lacking to them, neither great nor small, neither sons nor daughters, neither spoil nor anything that they had taken to them. David recovered all. And David took all the flocks and the herds which they drave before those other cattle and said, This is David's spoil. Now may the Lord bless the reading of his word. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. I'm going to ask our brother Alan Spencer, if he will, to lead us to the throne of grace this morning. Let's pray. Tonight it's going to be our happy privilege to have three of our young men minister the word. They each have 15 minutes. We're going to see that they each get 15 minutes, and they're going to bring us a message from the Lord. Our brother Neil Roberts and Teddy Barker and Mike will be, Brother Mike Burke will be ministering the word. Now, let me also remind you and just push a little bit. We're having our brother John Wiesinger with us for a week of meetings. This could be the greatest blessing in our lives. And let us plan to do all we can to get those we know need the Savior, relatives, friends. Let's begin praying that God will meet with us in a mighty way. And that Friday morning pastor's breakfast is not only for pastors. There are a number that are going to be there. Brother David Morris will be there. He's already told me. And Alan Spencer will be there. But Alan Myers III will be there and others. And we're going to have a great time of fellowship. You'll be paying you for your own breakfast. But the last time we had one of these when Brother John was with us, we got there at 8 o'clock and we didn't leave till 10:30. And I tell you, it was a blessed time. So keep it before you. These you can send through the mail or you can give them out. It may be wise to get them all ready and stamped and put them in the mail about a week before the meeting so that they're fresh on their minds when they get them. Now let's pray. Loving Father, we ask you now to graciously meet with us. Give us a fresh glimpse of thyself, of thy glory, and that which you provided for us. Hear us in these things for Jesus' sake. Amen. Warren Wiersbe says, life is 10% what you make it and 90% how you take it. That's very good. He also says, what life does to you depends upon what life finds in you. That's very good. I agree with Brother Wiersbe. Now, when you read what we read this morning from the Word of God, how would you have faced the problems that David faced at Ziklag? They were very real, weren't they? David had had a series of victories, one after another while he lived at Ziklag. Everything just seemed to be rolling along for David if you read from chapter 27 on to chapter 29. Things were going badly for King Saul. They were going great for David. But now this experience. And that takes all the joy out of it, doesn't it? When you read chapter 30, the Amalekites burned Ziklag. So we ask the question this morning, why do Christians have problems? Why do they have problems? Well, first of all, we could have problems because of the sin of others. Amalek attacked Israel in Exodus chapter 17. They attacked Israel, and when they attacked Israel, Joshua went out and he fought with them. That was Exodus chapter 17, and God instructed to Moses and through Joshua that they're going to have war with Amalek from generation to generation. And then when Samuel was on the scene, he instructed King Saul to go and exterminate the Amalekites, 1 Samuel chapter 15. But King Saul disobeyed. He didn't exterminate the Amalekites. He tried to save the best for himself. But you see, in the end, Saul suffered, for an Amalekite killed him. Any enemy that you fail to deal with will deal with you. It will deal with you. And so it was with King Saul. But you see, Christians have problems probably and many times because of the sins of others. But then second, Christians have problems because of their own sin. You see, I don't believe David was to be in the Philistine territory at all. He shouldn't have been there. In chapter 27, we learn why he was there. He communed with his own heart and he said, I'm going to die one day by the hand of Saul. David was scared, and he ran over into the camp of the enemy. He shouldn't have been there. What God is really saying to David is this, all right, David, I'm going to burn all your bridges behind you. God has to do that. I never want you to come back here. And that's what God's doing. He's burning David's bridges behind him. You see, it took about 16 months for all this to come to a head. See, God doesn't settle all his accounts in April. You see, David had been moving along there. It took about 16 months. God didn't stop David from going into the land of the Philistines. He let him go, and God didn't discipline him the first month he was there. And just because God doesn't discipline you immediately doesn't mean that the discipline isn't coming. Oh, no. Eventually, it came. Eventually, it came. Why do Christians have problems? Could be because of the sin of others. And then again, it could be because of your own sin. But then third, it could be because God loves us. Because God loves us. You see, God permitted Amalek to burn the city. God was saying, David, I don't want you to come back here. That's what God was saying to him. You see, God loves me that much. He's not going to pamper me. I'm so glad about that. God isn't going to pamper me. You know, there are Christians who want to be pampered continually. Oh, you can find them. They go from counselor to counselor, from conference to conference, and they want somebody to counsel them. No, they don't. They want somebody to console them. Not counsel, console. They want them to tell them what they want to hear. And that's a real problem. Years ago, when I was quite young, I read a little tract. It blessed my heart. This was the title of it. Others may, you cannot. And I tell you, that little tract blessed my heart. We look at other Christians who say, look what she's doing. God may not let me do it. He may permit her to do it. Others can, you may not. And we may look at another brother, oh, look what brother so-and-so is doing. My life isn't run by what brother God permits brother so-and-so to do. What does God have for me? You know, God may permit others to do something, but he may not permit us to do it. He may not. You see, my Father loves me too much. He's not going to pamper me. And when I step off base, he's going to tag me out. He's going to do it. Now, I may rebel. I may rebel. And if I does, he'll whip me. And you know why? The scripture says, whomsoever the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. Ah, the Lord loves me too much. And his love for David is manifested here. God's going to tag David out, and God does tag David out. For David is off base. Now the question is, how does God help us with our problems? How does he help us? What will God do for me if I sincerely and honestly want his help? What will God do for me? Well, from this passage this morning, I want you to notice four gifts that God gives us when we get in trouble. Four gifts. Now, by the way, you can't get these anywhere else. You can't get them at a Bible conference. And it doesn't matter which one you go to, whether it's Bryan or Bristol, or whether it's Maranatha, or whether it's the Bunyan Conference, or that's named after John Bunyan. That's something you have on your feet, by the way. The Bunyan Conference, it deals with a great subject of grace, or you won't even find it at Seaside Heights. You can only get it one place. You have to go to God for it. These four gifts that you find here, you have to get them from God. You can't get them anywhere else. You can't get them anywhere else. And David is in trouble. You talk about a crisis experience. Everything he has is gone. his wives, his children, the city where he brought all the plunder to when he would go out on his raids. It was all gone. You talk about a crisis. David has one. How does God help us if we sincerely want his help? How does he do it? Well, you see, God gives us these four gifts. Gift number one. He gives us the courage to face the problem honestly. The courage to face the problem honestly. How did these people with David react? Well, when you read verses 4 and verse 6, we read in verse 4, then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. What a scene that must have been. They wept. Now, Christians do weep, beloved. I know there are people who think that we shouldn't weep, but I've met sanctified robots in my life, you know. We're going through a crisis. We will not react. Beloved, our Lord wept. He wept at the grave of Lazarus. David and his men wept until there was no more power to weep. Beloved, God made us with emotions. And emotions are very real. And God made us and gave us the ability to weep. And the Word of God commands us in Romans 13 to weep with them that weep and to rejoice with those who rejoice. They wept. Their second reaction, they were distressed. The Hebrew word is mara, and it means bitterness. Oh, there's a bitterness that arises, and it arises against David. They were not bitter against David. You see, coupled with bitterness is always anger. This morning, our brother read from Ephesians chapter 4 at the Lord's Supper. Let all anger, wrath, and all these other things be put away. Anger, you see, coupled with bitterness is anger. Peter tells us in 1 Peter 3, verse 10, listen to it. He who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Do you love life? Do you get awake in the morning and say, oh, it's another day, praise God, I can live it for the glory of God? Do you love life? He that would love life, what does it say? And see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips, that they speak no guile. But these men are angry. They don't love life. They talked about stoning David. They talked about stoning him. There's bitterness. You see, now, beloved, you can often find in a Christian bitterness or anger. I read a little story when I was a boy, and the man talked about the Christian who plays with a harp or one string. When you meet a one-string Christian, you know, they always have one thing they want to talk about. They only want to talk about one thing. It may be a political issue, or it could be pro-life. It could be abortion, or maybe it could be tithing. All they want to talk about is one thing. Be careful. Be very careful. That person is probably bitter. They are not facing life honestly. They are taking a detour, and they want to run away. So you find, first of all, these men wept, and then they were bitter, and then they talked about stoning David. Now, that would have done a lot of good. That would have done a lot of good. Did you ever notice that when people get into a tight situation, they look for a scapegoat? They look for somebody to blame it on. They look for a scapegoat. You see, they were ready to throw stones. They talked about stoning David. Warren Wiersbe has a good expression. He says, when you get to the top of a hill, don't throw rocks, throw ropes. Help pull somebody up. Don't throw rocks, throw ropes. I like that. They talk about stoning David. Well, now we saw what the other men did. What did David do? Give us the courage, Lord, to face this problem honestly. What did David do? What did he do? Well, the scripture says in verse 6, the end of verse 6, but David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Now, the Hebrew text says he kept on encouraging himself in the Lord his God. He kept on doing it. You see? Why? Well, this was the lifestyle of David. How do you do this? How can you have this encouragement as a lifestyle? It's a lifestyle that, with David, you see. How did he do this? Well, first of all, we do this by remembering who God is and what God has done. My friend, if there's anything we need, it is to encourage ourselves in the Lord our God, to remember who God is and what God has done. By remembering what God is like, by meditating upon his attributes and what God has revealed, what God has told us in his word. Saturate yourself with the grace and the goodness of God. Now, if you're the person who spends your life taking spiritual autopsies, you know, continuously taking yourself apart and looking at yourself, I'll tell you what. When you look at yourself, you get depressed. And when you look at other Christians, if that's all you do, you get distressed. But if you look to the Lord, you're going to be blessed. David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. That's the first gift. That's the first gift. How can I face this problem honestly? By encouraging ourselves in the Lord our God. Now there's a great verse I want to leave you with. It's Isaiah chapter 41 and verse 10. Notice what it says. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. If you want a good exercise in encouraging yourself in God, begin in Isaiah chapter 40 and read to the end of the book and examine all the fear nots. Notice this verse. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Gift number one, God will enable us to face the problem honestly. Gift number two, God gives us the wisdom to understand what he wants us to do. You see, and the verse for this is James 1, verse 5. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. You see, God isn't going to get disturbed if you come often. He isn't going to get angry if you come continuously and say, well, why are you so stupid that you didn't come. You know, we get disturbed with children sometimes. You know, children say, why is the sky blue? Mama, why is the sky blue? You see it. Well, it's blue everywhere except north over Chapel Hill. You see, it got gray there. It moved over 15 miles to Duke. But nevertheless, why is the sky blue? We get irritated when children continuously do things. But God isn't that way. God is very patient. God is very long-suffering. You see, wisdom. If you want wisdom, where do you get it? You have to ask God. You want knowledge? Well, that's different. You see, you have to dig for knowledge. You have to dig to get knowledge. But wisdom is the right use of knowledge. God enables us to take knowledge and turn it into wisdom. You meet a person, he might have a lot of knowledge, but he has no wisdom. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Wisdom is the ability. Or going to God, God gives us the ability to turn knowledge into wisdom. Wisdom is the spiritual radar that directs us. That's wisdom. Let me give you a quote. This quote says, mental confusion, contradiction of feeling, indecisiveness, these are our weapons. Do you know who said that? Adolf Hitler. You think it over. Confusion. The Word of God says God is not the author of confusion. God is not its author. How foolish would it have been for David to try to solve the problem not knowing what to do? It's one thing to have courage to face it honestly. It's another thing to get from God the wisdom and the knowledge to know what to do. Panic. My, how the devil uses this every day. Panic. It was one of Hitler's devices. And it's the devil's devices. Now, God has a will for each of us. The scripture tells us in verse 8, and David inquired at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? David inquired at the Lord. Now, God has a will for each of our lives. Again, let me say, I know that there are some who say God does not have a particular will for your life. Well, now, I just have something to tell you. I believe the Bible teaches otherwise. I believe it definitely teaches that God has a will for your life. Psalm 139 teaches me that God made me special biologically. God formed me biologically just the way He wants me, and I don't need to run to somebody to change it. You see, God made me the way He wants me in order that His will be accomplished through me. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 says, we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Philippians 2:12 says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. The will of God is a lifestyle, friends, not a formula. If any man will do His will, he shall know. Our problem is, we go to the God and we say, Father, show me what You want me to do. And if I like it, I'll do it. That's our problem. Show me what You want me to do, and if I like it, I'll do it. If I don't like it, I won't do it, no matter what You say. Now, we wouldn't be that bold in saying it out loud, but we do it with our actions. Let me know what You want me to do, and I'll do it if I like it. F.W. Robertson said, obedience is the organ of spiritual knowledge. We don't read the Word of God for knowledge. You shouldn't. You should read it for obedience. Father, here's a crisis. Give me courage to face it honestly. Give me wisdom to know not what to do, or to know what to do. Now, where do we get this wisdom? We get this wisdom from the Word of God, but not the panic reading of the Word of God. You know, there are people, they can go along for days without ever opening the book. And then something happens. They come up to a real problem, a crisis. Boy, then they run to the Word, and they think that the answers ought to jump out of it. David said to Abiathar, bring hither the ephod. And he asked questions, and God answered. God revealed his will to David. You see, David had a lifestyle of fellowship with God. Do you? Give me the wisdom to know what to do. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. God will give it. See, David did. He said, Lord, what should I do? Shall I pursue after this troop? God said, yes. Will I overtake them? Yes, you'll recover everything. That's what God told him. That brings us to gift number three. Gift number three in this text. It is this. God gives us the strength to do what we need to do. You see, God or David had to do something. God didn't send his angels to do it. God didn't send his angels to deliver David. David had to do it, you see. Now, David was tired. Ever get tired? David was. 200 of David's men were so weak, they couldn't cross the brook Besor. Now, if these men were tired, what about David? He must have been exceedingly tired. But Philippians chapter 4, verse 13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Lord, I not only need the courage to face it, honestly, I not only need the wisdom to know what to do, but I need the strength to do what needs to be done. I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. God does not solve your problems in spite of you. God does not solve your problems instead of you. God solves your problems in and through you. Let me ask you a question. Honestly, do you enjoy your problems? See, a lot of people do. It gives you something to talk about. And it can make you look important if you can talk about your problems. Do you know that it is possible to be a professional, quote, weaker brother or sister? You're always offended. It's possible to be. Growing, beloved, is a challenge. And these weaker brothers and sisters do not want a challenge. It's a lot more fun to be offended. Now, David wasn't like that. He could turn to God and he could say, give me the strength to lead this army that we may go and recover all. Now, there are a lot of times in our Christian life that we have to do hard things. One of the hardest things that I ever had to do was apologize. It's hard to apologize. But God gives us strength. God gives the strength. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It's God who gives the strength. Oh, there's a little great doxology at the close of Ephesians chapter 3. It says, now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we may ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Not according to the power that works in the archangels. It's according to the power that works in us. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Oh, let me ask you. Is his power working in you? That's the key. That's the key. It must be a lifestyle. A lifestyle. That brings us to number four, the fourth gift. You see, not only will he give me the courage, not only will he give me the wisdom, not only will he give me the strength, but he will give me the faith to trust him to do what I can't do. He'll give me the faith. Where do I find that in the text? Well, you see, there are things, beloved, that you and I can't do. there are some problems that are like scrambled eggs. And we can't unscramble eggs. I never met anybody yet who can. And there are some problems like scrambled eggs. You just can't unscramble them. Oh, yes, you can pull holes or nails out of a board, but you can't pull the holes out. And we meet problems sometimes that are like scrambled eggs, and you just can't unscramble them. And you can't pull the holes out of the board. But what happened to David? David met an Egyptian. He met an Egyptian in the field. You see, oh, you talk about the providence of God. Give me the faith to believe that God is going to intervene and give me what I can't do. You see, he met the Egyptian in the field. Now, what a master this Egyptian had. He was servant to an Amalekite. I wish we had another hour. I'd preach the gospel on this young man of Egypt. What a passage for a gospel message. And I tell you, I'm tempted, but we don't have time. What a passage. If you can just take this passage and examine it, here's an Egyptian, a servant to an Amalekite. And for those of you who love grace, he was brought to David. He couldn't come. He was sick. He was ready to die. Oh, what a picture of the sinner and what a picture of the Savior that David becomes. My, what a privilege to preach a gospel from that text. But you talk about the providence of God. You see, now, we read in verse 16, that when he brought him down, this Egyptian, David could say to him, can you lead me to these people? He said, yes, I once was with them. I can take you to them. And when they came down, you see false security among the Amalekites. Boy, they were dancing and making merry and drinking. You talk about the false security of the world. And David smote them. And David recovered all. Now, David didn't know where the enemy was. But God did. And God put the right person with David at the right time. Lord, give me faith to believe this. Not only courage, not only strength, not only wisdom, but give me the faith. Now suppose David was the kind of a person who didn't really have a concern for others. Oh, David, there's a man here at the point of death. Oh, don't bother me with that. I have too many other important things in my mind. I'm fighting a war. I'm a general. We have to pursue and get our wives. Don't bother me with such trivial things. You ever meet Christians like that? You see, David was a shepherd. And he had a shepherd's heart. He had a shepherd's heart. You see, the scripture says David recovered all in verses 18 and 19. And then he got all the spoil that the Amalekites had before they took everything that they conquered. David was not only a conqueror, he was more than a conqueror. Romans 8 says we are more than conquerors to him that loved us. You know, there's a verse that every one of us should think about and think about it seriously. Psalm 37 verse 5, it says, commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he will bring it to pass. Psalm 37 is a very interesting psalm. Verse 1, he says, fret not. In verse 7, he says, fret not. In verse 8, he says, fret not. And Christian friend, you're either fretting or you're trusting. You are either fretting or you're committing. Commit thy way unto the Lord. That's what David did. Trust also in him, and he will bring it to pass. I can always tell when I'm fretting instead of committing. You see, when I'm fretting, I'm nervous, I'm agitated, and there's no peace. Fretting. In conclusion, I'd like to leave you with three thoughts real quickly. When severe problems come, remember, It may be because of others. It may be because of yourself. Or it may be because God is seeking to polish you. Whomsoever the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. God loves me. Conclusion number two. Do you want these four gifts? Do you want the courage to face a problem honestly? Do you want the wisdom to know what God wants you to do? Do you want the strength to do it? Do you want the faith to trust Him to do what you can't do? Commit thy way unto the Lord. That's what David did. And the great thing about this text is God got the glory. God got the glory. You see, what life does to you depends upon what life finds in you. And may it find in you that spiritual life that commits all to God. How about it? Let's pray. Father, it's easy to fret. It is easy to be filled with unbelief. It is easy to be filled with anger toward others. It is easy to blame others for our problems. It is easy to be so busy that we are not concerned with divine providence that you put in our way. We thank you for these lessons. Enable us to commit our way to thee. May you find in us this morning that divine spiritual life to which the Holy Spirit can commune and fellowship. Grant our God that thy name will be glorified in us and through us. For Jesus' sake, amen.